John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's right side. He has made him known." In fact, Spirit, we come to your inspired word here. We look at this passage and ask for your teaching and your guidance in it. As we prayed outside, asking that you would lead us and guide us, take your word and press it into our heart, help us to be encouraged by it, strengthened by it spiritually. Help me to speak accurately. Help us to listen accurately. Help us to apply it accurately in our lives. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, when I say, or better, when the Apostle John says, "In the beginning," what comes to mind? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. The first four words of the Bible, the first four words of Genesis. You think that's just a happenstance that the Apostle John put that here as the opening words in his gospel? I don't think it's just happens to be that way, a coincidence. When the Apostle John opens up this wonderful gospel, he uses those words, "in the beginning," and faithful Jews, faithful Israelites would immediately, their mind would immediately go in the beginning, to the beginning, the book of Moses, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. You think John is confused? The Apostle John is confused there? No. He's not confused. In the beginning, God, in the beginning was the Word. We'll see soon enough that the Apostle John is declaring the deity, the supremacy of the Word, very God of very God. So today we'll focus on the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, and those first five verses, so very important. Perhaps some of the most well-known scriptures in all of Christianity. In the beginning was the Word. John 3:16 is a familiar one. No one comes to the Father. You remember that verse, of course, John 14, 6. Very familiar verses coming out of this gospel. Interesting in my study of the gospel of John that the scholars say that he uses the fewest amount of words. His vocabulary is the fewest number of words than of all the gospels. Matthew uses more words, greater vocabulary. Mark, Luke, and John uses fewer words in the sense of a vocabulary. The words he does use are packed with power, of course, loaded with meaning, but fewer words. Some have said down through the centuries that the Gospel of John is simple enough for a child to understand, and it's deep enough for an elephant to swim in. Theologians for centuries, hundreds of thousands of pages have been written about what John is writing here about the Word, about God, about Jesus Christ. Profound book. In our evangelistic efforts, when we're trying to make contact with the non-believing world, you may have in fact handed out Gospels of John. Very common to do that. The Gospel of John here, if you want to read about Christianity and know about Jesus, read the Gospel of John. And there's a reason for that. It's the simplicity, straightforwardness of John. And as I say, at the same time, the depth of meaning is profound. One thing we have to think of as we come to this Gospel, as we think of the Apostle John, the one who walked with Jesus, listened to Jesus' teaching, who was in the inner circle of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of Jesus. What would you say about John as a Jewish man, a faithful Jewish man, a disciple at one time of John the Baptist, had come over to be a disciple of Jesus? What would you say would be at the core of his belief about God? The most straightforward thing that John would believe in about God. Well, you're right. John is a strict monotheist. He believes in one God. He's a faithful Jewish man. He's not presenting his gospel. He's not laying out the prologue to the Gospel of John and declaring to everyone, now there are two gods. Now there are multiple gods. Now we need to have that in place right from the very beginning. Because he's going to talk about deity. He's going to talk about power. In the beginning was, and he knows his scripture, in the beginning was God. And here he says, in the beginning was the Word. And he's a strict monotheist. He doesn't mean the Word was there with God as some competing God or some lesser God. John believes one God. So that will help us in our understanding of this very powerful gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Really, we could say that for a big idea to get started in this gospel, what the Gospel of John, what the apostle is doing in this writing, is he's declaring, he's announcing the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. He's announcing the deity. All supposed teachings, all false teachings that would diminish the deity of Jesus Christ, he is forcefully announcing, he's against that. The Apostle John declares the full humanity of Jesus and the full deity of Jesus, but his emphasis is on the deity of Jesus Christ, the deity of the Word, the deity of the Son of God. We'll look at that a little more closely in moment. For the Apostle John, there is no distinction between God and the Word. The Word was God. No distinction in the essence of who the Word is. In the nature of who the Word is. Now clearly, there's a distinction between the Father and the Son. That's in the theology of John. But he's hammering from the very first words here. This Word, Logos, the Word, is deity, supreme God. Now as we begin our study here, you'll hear me often use words like supreme God. It's my effort to say the Most High God. I might use Most High, the Most High God. Whatever someone's approach to Jesus is, or how they read the Gospel of John, or their approach to Christianity, Christians have believed for centuries, the apostolic teaching is for centuries, that the Word, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the Most High God. Can I use that language? He is the Supreme God. I don't want us to swerve off and to think that He is some kind of a lesser God. We'll think about that more closely too here in a few moments. John is not teaching that Jesus came to earth and sometime later in His life He became divine. He was divine before there was a beginning of the entire universe. He has existed eternally. Well, this is at the foundation, this is at the core of the Christian faith, that the Godness, supreme deity of Jesus Christ, just as the resurrection is at the center. Let me just state it as clearly as possible. All kinds of ideas running around in the world today. A person cannot be an apostolic Christian, a true Christian, and deny the deity of Jesus Christ. It's that important. People running around, not sure, hedging their bets on Jesus. Perhaps He's a good teacher. No. That is at the core, the center of what it means to be a Christian is God enfleshed. Yahweh, if you like to use that word. Jehovah, if you like to use that word. God, most supreme God, enfleshed. And a denial of that means that a person is not an apostolic, not a biblical Christian, not a true, authentic Christian. Trying to emphasize the point, because as I say, that is watered down in the world that we live in today for many number of reasons. But the Apostle John, Matthew, the Apostle Paul would agree that Jesus is God. He was not made up at some other time in Christian history in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century. It's at the core of the gospel message. So, in the Christian life, there's really an ultimate crisis. And the ultimate crisis, we live in a time of crisis, don't we? I think I mentioned that last week. We live in a time, and there's a crisis everywhere you turn, there's a crisis somewhere. People trying to attract your attention to the crisis in the world. And here's the true crisis, the real crisis, the ultimate crisis is Jesus of Nazareth. What will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? That's a crisis. Everyone is going to deal with that question at some point in their life. That is the ultimate crisis. Political crisis, economic crisis, social crisis, religious crisis, all kinds of education crisis, marriage crisis, children crisis, adult
aging population crisis, whatever crisis it is, that is the ultimate crisis that every person must deal with, Jesus of Nazareth. And do you say that he is God? And if you do, that has enormous implications for life. And if you deny that, well, you're going to deal with that crisis. Because you stand in direct opposition to the Apostle John and his message. You stand in opposition to God. And that will be the crisis event of any person's life. And the sooner that we deal with that crisis in our own personal lives, the better off we'll be. We'd be better off in our households and in our communities and in our nation if we could deal with that crisis. But it seems the trend is people don't want to deal with that crisis. So John is saying in the beginning, he's bringing people's mind back to Genesis, the power of God, the intelligence of God, the complexity of God, creating the entire universe. He's linking the Word, the power, the intelligence, the complexity of the Word, all of that, as we'll find out, has come to earth and tabernacled with us. If you claim Jesus as Lord, claim the deity of Jesus, then he has the right and he demands the right to have authority in your life. Well, now there's a modern day objection to this. As we're just laying out some groundwork here for John, there's a modern day objection. You may have heard it. And it goes something like this: but Jesus himself never claimed to be God. You Christians just made this up. Well, it's funny how you pour your interpretation into what is plainly evident in the scriptures. And we're going to see through the Gospel of John that Jesus, in fact, did declare himself to be God, to be divine. Whether or not he used the specific word that you prefer, he actually did declare himself to be God. And the people knew it. In your listening guide, I have a reference there to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs. From John chapter 10, verse 31 through 33. John chapter 10, 31 to 33. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from my Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? And the Jews answered him. And the Jews in the Gospel of John are is the nation, primarily the religious leaders that are in opposition to Jesus as Messiah, as the one of God, the chosen one of God, God being God himself. The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. So modern day thinking is, in people that are resistant to the teaching of John, the deity of Jesus Christ, there is, well, Jesus never, that's a popular argument, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, funny thing, the Jewish leaders knew exactly what he was claiming. That's why they wanted to kill him. That's for blasphemy, claiming to be equal. And they do mean equal. Equal in essence, equal in nature, equal in character, equal in power, equal in intelligence, equal in, as I say, complexity. They knew, but you can't receive it. You can't accept that truth from Scripture. What the Jews understood 2,000 years ago. That's why they wanted to kill him. That is what Jesus is claiming. to be God. So John blows that one straight out of the water. We will receive repeatedly that Jesus does present himself as God. So John's purpose in writing this whole gospel is laid out for us there in chapter 20. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. That's what is at the heart of John, his compassionate heart, his love for people, that we would have life. Now, obviously, if he's saying that's the purpose, we must lack something. We must lack some. He says that so we would believe and to have life. Well, he's saying this to people who are breathing and who are living and they're marrying and they have jobs. If they have life, there must be something different that John is looking at that we human beings don't have. And he's writing this gospel so that we would believe. One of the many words that shows up repeatedly over and over in the gospel. Believer, believing, belief, faith in John. Life, repeatedly shows up. Light shows up often in John. Darkness shows up often. These words we'll see. John repeats his theme over and over and over. Some repetition in the gospel, but for good reason. Good reason. Well, the Word, the eternal Son of God, makes God known. That is what John is teaching us. In the beginning was the Word. Let me just ask you, how do you make yourself known? You use words, don't you? We can know something about you through your actions, the way you carry yourself, perhaps. We can know something about Jesus by his life, and something about him and God by the way he lived his life. But the means of communication for human beings is the Word, the spoken Word, maybe the written Word, the audible Word, and the visual Word. The Word comes to earth, audibly can be heard, visually can be seen. John is giving testimony to that. The Son, the Word of God, makes God known. Verse 17, we even see the name Jesus Christ. Laws given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John has Jesus on his mind when he's speaking of the Word. Now, that is a very interesting word. He's using the word logos in Greek, the Word. The Word became flesh, the Word. In the time that John was writing, that may strike us as not overly shocking, but at the time that John was writing this, he's writing really to two audiences. There's the Greek audience, non-believing Greeks, polytheistic Greeks. Then there's the Jews, the Jewish people, the Jewish population. Well, for Greek speakers, word meant intelligence, it meant rational being, it meant wisdom. And so when he says the Word, in the beginning was the Word, so a Greek would hear that, they would identify, okay, I'm going to listen to that because that's reason, that's intelligence, that's rationality. But when a Jew heard it, a Hebrew, remember, they're thinking Genesis, in the beginning was the Word. They're thinking creative power. Let there be light. And there was light. Power is what they're thinking. Divine God power. So when John says, in the beginning was the Word, he's capturing the attention of these two very large audiences. Was the Word, the one with power and with rationality and with intelligence. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if you dive into your study on this, there's all kinds of technicalities which are very fruitful and very informative and would edify you greatly if you got into it. The linguists, the Greek linguists, have a lot to say about these first five verses, the first two verses in particular, because different groups have tried to corrupt these passages over time. And I'll just introduce you to them. In the beginning was, the word was is a continuous action. It's not a completed event. It's not a completed action verb. It's continuous action. Was in the beginning, whoever he's talking about, the word was, had been continuing, had been in continuance and always in continuance and never stopped being in continuance, and in today is continuing. This word was, existed, had being. There are other words that can be used for coming into deity on earth, came into being. No, always had existed. That's a supernatural existence, and what John is communicating through the word that's used there was the word. That word was, in English, was. What he's communicating is the word never had a beginning. Never had a beginning. Enormously helpful. Even if our screen goes blank, the overhead goes blank, it's still enormously helpful for us to see and to understand that word choice that John is using. And he goes on to say, and the word was with God. That word with, I'll bring that to your attention too. You can underline that, do some study on that. Very informative. Means to have communion. Means to have fellowship with. And it means to be in a face-to-face, not an abstract communion, face-to-face, moving towards one another. So the word had face-to-face communion with God, in the very presence of God. He's with God. There's this movement towards, there's this engagement that the Word has with God. Was the Word, and the Word was continuously, never had a beginning, existed eternally, and the Word was with God, and this eternal existence was with God, and they were in face-to-face communion. I think that's powerful. Just powerful. That's why I say, if you look at that, do your own study and break those apart, you'll find that is incredibly encouraging to our understanding of who Jesus is. So the eternal Son of God makes God known. Hebrews 1, chapter 1 to 3. Long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir over all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, according to the writer of Hebrews. After making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. People are looking for a new word from God today, looking for some new revelation from God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the enfleshed Son of God, is God's final word. That's the climax of God's revelation, of God's communication. Our problem is not knowing what to do with that revelation. It's not that we need a new one. It's what we're doing with the one that has been given. So people denying the demands, commands of Jesus, denying the deity of Jesus Christ, perhaps denying the full humanity of Jesus, denying the nature of who Jesus is, just denying that, and looking for a new revelation out there. They're not dealing with the revelation God has given them, which brings all manner of complications to their life. So we have to be careful about how we talk about Jesus. As I was going through this study, I just remembered a small group that I was in many years ago. Lydia and I were in it together. And a good friend of mine, and a sincere man, and him and his wife, sincere and educator, professional educator, sincere in their faith. But he was talking like this in the group, that we need to pray. We need to pray to God and Jesus. That would be the phrase that he would use. That we need to pray to God and Jesus.